Because what we know is that the frameworks of the nervous system can be enough to help people see themselves in a new way. It stops the self-blame around, I'm just too weak, needy, anxious, I'm not strong enough, I'm not resilient enough. The good news is with neuroplasticity, we can relearn and reshape those areas in the brain-body system that have to do with attachment as well. Hello and welcome to Neuroplasticity Nerds, the leading nervous system school podcast. I'm Jessica McGuire. And today I'm really excited to talk to you about the nervous system and why we can see a range of symptoms in ourselves or the people that we help when somebody is experiencing nervous system dysregulation. So I worked as a physiotherapist for over 14 years in private practice. And one of the things I would often see was that patients would present with a cluster of symptoms when they were having a difficult time. Following on from something emotional or experiencing something that was chronically stressful or traumatic. And what I began to see was that this was a little bit like looking at an iceberg. Above the water, what I would see come in with patients was symptoms such as not being able to switch off, not being able to sleep, digestive problems, feeling wound up all the time. Problems in relationships with excess arguing or argumentativity, or it could look a little bit more on the side of feeling exhausted, having a loss of libido, feeling foggy, forgetful, and also even with enough sleep, still feeling really tired and having this feeling of depression or heaviness in the body, as well as things like persistent pain. As I got to understand the interconnectedness between the systems and also this two-way communication between the brain and body better, I started to see that for many people, that there was a stress-related root cause to their symptoms. That's not to say that that happens to everybody, but for many people that can be the case, particularly if they've had traumatic experiences earlier on in their life. And the way to really help these people was not about putting band-aids over bullet holes. It was about getting under the surface of the water and looking at the things that were happening there, particularly what we call nervous system dysregulation, if there was poor functioning of the vagus nerve or a loss of vagal tone, if there was a triggering of what we call implicit memories, or these are more like body-based memories that were affecting the nervous system as well. And so this has really been what's inspired me not only to make today's podcast episode, but the team and I have been working for several months on putting together something to help coaches, health practitioners, those who work in positions of leadership or management or teachers, be able to explain and to educate others on these complex topics of the nervous system. And so we have just opened up the doors to the nervous system certification course, which is a trauma-informed practitioner program. And what I've been hearing from many of our students is that they find it challenging to teach these complex subjects on the nervous system, even though they know this is really important for other people. And so putting together this training has, as I said, evolved over several months, and it's understandable that there is a challenge there because nervous system work can be very complex. We're talking about things like the communication between the brain and the body. We're talking about the way that the immune, the endocrine, and the nervous system all speak to each other. We're looking at the connectedness outside of us as well to other people. But it's really important that we embrace these complexities and learn to lean into them and learn to find ways that we can educate and empower the people that we help. Because what we know is that the frameworks of the nervous system can be enough to help people see themselves in a new way. It stops the self-blame around, I'm just too weak, needy, anxious, I'm not strong enough, I'm not resilient enough. And that alone, when we reappraise what's happening in our body or our brains, can help to keep us out of further dysregulation. We don't add this second layer of suffering to what we're already experiencing. The second challenge that we often hear from our students is around how we can really help the people that we work with change these long-standing behaviors that don't serve them. And this is where nervous system work is really empowering, because we shift from feeling like we need to fix or rescue somebody else to teaching them those frameworks and also giving them the neuroplasticity training that can help them change their brain-body system themselves. Now, neuroplasticity is the way that our nervous system can reorganize and reconnect in new ways. And a lot of this will have to do with the habits in our lives as well. So a lot of the time when people are using things that don't serve them so well, it's because they're looking to change their state. For instance, nobody has an innate part in their brain-body system that has to do with scrolling through Instagram. But we might say, well, what does that give us? It might give us distraction when we're feeling overwhelmed by our life. It might give us a sense of connection in some way. And that can be okay, but when it's excessive, what we might see really is that there is a need that's not being met. And so we use these artificial regulators. Other examples might be using alcohol, might be having to use excessive exercise to cope. And so learning to really help other people change long-standing behaviors is being aware of things like these artificial regulators, teaching people to find what the true need is of their nervous system and how to shift back to regulation using neuroplasticity training. The other thing that we've heard from our students that they struggle with when it comes to helping other people is really how to take care of their own nervous system. And so we know that co-regulation is a really important part of how we help other people. And co-regulation happens when you attune to another person and allow your internal state to shift and come to resonate with their internal world. Now, this is what brings true regulation and can help shift us back to regulation where healing, growth, and repair all take place. So it's an important part of the session if we work with other people. And the final point that we've learned from our students of what they struggle with implementing nervous system work, is how to plan their sessions. So not just within each individual session where we try to make time for this nervous system education, teaching those empowering resources, but also how to sequence each individual session following one after the other. And this is important because it's where we lean into those principles of neuroplasticity so we can create real impact as well as lasting change for other people. So what we tend to see with what we might look at as stress spectrum illnesses is that there's often a high rate of comorbidity among these issues. So often we see in Western medicine that we divide things into discrete diagnoses. And this is not to suggest that every disease or illness is only stress related, but it is important to look at that if we have several symptoms that present together, then stress can be an underlying driver of them. So this could include things like anxiety, depression, alcoholism, eating disorders, persistent pain, irritable bowel syndrome, insomnia, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, metabolic syndrome, asthma, allergies, migraines, psoriasis. And it's useful for us to see that this interconnection between the systems can explain them. And often we'll see that we can have dysregulation presenting in three different ways that might be more linked to certain symptoms or illnesses. Now, if we think about the first way that symptoms can be associated with, if we're looking at being stuck on off, or imagine the off button is jammed, we might feel flat, we might feel a sense of chronic fatigue, depression, there's the fogginess. It's difficult for us to get motivated and we may have a loss of libido. So that stuck on off, we can look at ways to working with that to help us. And one of the most useful ways can be what we call activity pacing. Now, this is a really useful thing to help with chronic fatigue and persistent pain, but also if we're coming from that state of burnout, if we've been in chronic burnout, and when we try and do new things, we find ourselves exhausted, or we find that we've experienced a flare-up of symptoms. Why this is important is because we can look at the way the nervous system needs to change is that it needs some challenge. And we might think of this as the Goldilocks principle. So if the nervous system doesn't have enough challenge, then there won't ever be an adaptation or that encouragement to change or grow. And if things are too challenging, then our protective responses get turned on, and this can result in things like anxiety or feeling more flat, lethargic, as well as having a flare-up of persistent pain. So just like in the story where Goldilocks went to the three bears' house and one porridge was too hot, one was too cold, and she liked baby bear's porridge that was just right, we're looking to learn to stretch our nervous system or come into this stretch zone, which is just the right amount of challenge. So with activity pacing, what we might do is look at all the things that we might want to do, all the things that we need to do, and we select some from both of those lists. Now, we want to find what is the objective number or amount of time or number of repetitions that we can do something before we might move into exhaustion or chronic fatigue, or we might experience a pain flare-up. So let's say we want to start going for a longer walk, and we've found that in the past, if we push ourselves too hard with exercise when working as well, then we end up crashing and feeling exhausted the following day. And this could also flare up other symptoms too, like pain or inflammation. So what we can do is find how long we can go for a walk for, and let's say it's 20 minutes. And we might say, well, can I do 20 minutes and I know tomorrow that I'll feel okay? We might say, well, I'm not quite sure about that. But if I brought it back to, say, 15 minutes, I know that I could do 15 minutes and tomorrow I would be okay. So the idea with activity pacing is we say, all right, well, 15 minutes is in that Goldilocks zone. Let's start with that. And then we build by 10% each week. Now, if, for instance, the following day we did have a flare-up of symptoms and we were either exhausted or we had persistent pain, we might either take it back slightly or we might just stay at that same activity level and then in time build on that. So for persistent pain, movement is one of the best things that we can do to exercise our what we call neuroimmune system. So the nervous system and the immune system, they work really closely together and are important with pain. And so one of the best lines that I heard, and I don't know who this came from, but I really love it, is that motion is lotion, and how it helps the rest of our body if we are moving. So that's one of the most effective ways that we can help ourselves shift out of that state where the off button is jammed and we feel exhausted, or we might feel shut down. Now, if we start to come out of that state, we may actually begin to experience anger and we might feel more mobilizing energy. And for a lot of people, this can be unnerving because we are so used to feeling that flatness that when we start to feel this anger or rage come up in us, we might not know how to deal with it. And often what we hear from our students is that They begin to appraise that anger as wrong or bad, or that they shouldn't feel it. And then they drop back down into that state of hypoarousal or where the off button is jammed. But what's beginning to happen is that there is a coming out of that hypoarousal or flatness, and there's more mobilizing energy coming into the system. So it can be really helpful to trust in knowing that you're moving towards regulation. It's a little bit like climbing up and out of something. Now, if we spend a lot of time in the state where it feels like the on button is jammed, we might find that there is a little bit too much arousal in the nervous system. We may feel more of a hypervigilance, an excessive startle response. We might be hypersensitive to light or sound. We might feel restless, that we can't sit still. And so we find ourselves all the time bouncing our knee or having to get up and walk. There could be insomnia, nightmares. We might feel panic as well as anger and rage. And we often can see this in our relationships with the stuck on, where we might find ourselves in more arguments. In the stuck on off state, we tend to isolate ourselves from other people. So there are some ways that we can see the nervous system presenting above the surface of the water, like the iceberg above the surface of the water. And it gives us clues as to what might be happening under the water. And some people can actually oscillate between the two, which can also be challenging, as I mentioned with anger before. So if we are in that stuck on state, if we look what's happening underneath the water, we might find that our neuroception has become sensitized. And this is the way that we detect if people, places, or situations are safe, dangerous, or life-threatening. And to bring neuroception back to being more accurate, we want to work both with our interoception, or what's happening inside our body, learning to read that in a more accurate way, but also our exteroceptors. So tuning in with focus to what we see, hear, smell, taste, and the sense of touch as well. Working outside of our body can be really helpful if we're particularly dysregulated. But here again, as I mentioned, trusting that anger can be a normal part of this and learning to befriend and contain that sense of anger, but also channeling it into ways that serve us. So sometimes that anger, when we learn to befriend it, we can really use that to help us make plans, decisions, take actions, to set things up that support us in new ways, particularly if we've been pushed away from living in line with our deepest values. So this is where nervous system work is both an art and a science. And what else can be going on underneath the surface of the water in addition to our neuroception changing because of chronic and traumatic stress, where it's become more sensitized to cues of danger, is there can be a loss of vagal tone. So this is where the vagus nerve may not be functioning as well as it should. And that can come from the ongoing stresses that we may be facing. Now, whether that comes from relational trauma because of what's happened in our childhood, and we are still struggling today to have that sense of safety in our relationships from what we learned when we were children. It's such an important time to do with attachment. And so that could be really important in what we need to relearn. The good news is with neuroplasticity, we can relearn and reshape those areas in the brain-body system that have to do with attachment as well. And we might be experiencing a loss of vagal tone if in our life we are not getting a chance to recover from stresses. So let's say we've experienced a relationship breakdown, then we might need to find somewhere else to live, which can be incredibly stressful. It puts pressure on our finances as well. And so this ongoing sense of being stuck on, because that's what our nervous system is being pushed towards, means that the vagus nerve has been released and it hasn't come back on. Now, the part of the vagus nerve that runs from the brainstem down towards our heart, to the sinoatrial node of the heart to be specific, which is the pacemaker, that's the very first thing to come off when we're experiencing a stressor. And this is normally to allow us to have this mobilization of our nervous system to meet a challenge, face a demand. And then afterwards, the brake re-engages and our physiology slows back down. And that process is known as allostasis. So where we move away from a baseline or a set point, and then how we return back to that baseline again. And without getting that return, we find that it's like the vagal brake is always off. And then instead of experiencing things that are exciting or playful or bring mobilization into our nervous system, we might just move straight into anxiety and hypervigilance. For instance, something really exciting in your life could be happening in a relationship or a job, but if that vagal brake has been off, you may still see that as a threat, because we know that with being stuck on, we're more hypervigilant. So the solution is, if we are in that state where we get stuck on, learning how to have mobilizing energy in our system and re-engage the vagal brake. And one of the best ways we can do this is through play. So thinking about for you, what is it that brings that mobilizing energy into your system, but there is also a feeling of safety and a sense of regulation. Often this involves other people too, where you feel that deep sense of trust and connection and safety with them. It could be something as simple as a game outside. It could be something like going surfing with somebody, going to a comedy night, going on a hike. But learning to let the sense of mobilizing energy come into your body, so there is that shift away from the baseline, and then the vagal brake re-engaging, so you come back down to your baseline. It's like going to the gym and lifting weights. You strengthen the vagal brake so that you have healthy vagal tone once again. And this is really how we see what's going on beneath the surface of the water. Now, of course, we should always work with health practitioners to have our symptoms assessed. But if we're seeing that cluster of symptoms that we've mentioned above the surface of the water with the iceberg, and if there's no medical explanation from them, if we know that our symptoms get worse with stress, then that can be that there is a root cause, that it is a stress-related illness or stress-related symptoms. And it's helpful for us to understand this, because then we say, okay, let's get below the surface of the water and look at the main part of the iceberg, where we need to look at cultivating accurate neuroception. So learning to detect if things are safe, dangerous, and life-threatening with an accuracy to today, rather than responding to how we may have in the past, because that's what we learn. And there's also looking at how we shift from being stuck on off, or like the off button is jammed, where we talked about using things like activity pacing, how we work with things like being stuck on. And today we looked at using play for that. And we can also look at the ways that we can build healthy vagal tone again. And so if you're a health practitioner, coach, leader, manager, or teacher, the iceberg can be one of the most helpful things that you can teach to the people that you work with. If they are presenting with a range of different symptoms, or you know that they are struggling in their life with certain things, if you're a leader or a coach and you want to help them move back towards that baseline or equilibrium, and explaining those concepts, even though they are challenging, around nervous system dysregulation, around vagal tone as well, so that they begin to understand that there are things that are happening below the surface of the water. And I encourage you to embrace the complexities of nervous system work rather than trying to simplify or look for general black or white statements. Although that is easier to explain, it doesn't empower the people that we help to really take back that sense of agency and to independently be able to create lasting change and to have an impact on their own brain body system. So this brings us to the end of season one of Neuroplasticity Nerds. And I want to say a sincere thank you for being here listening. We've loved hearing your feedback from the episodes. And a sincere thank you to our wonderful guests that came along for the first season. We learned so much from you, and it's been an honor to have you here with us to share your wonderful teachings as well. As mentioned, the Nervous System Certification course is now open, and we will pop the details to that in the show notes. We would love to have you join us if it feels like the right fit for you. And we have also just opened the doors to our 8-week vagus nerve program as well. Now, the program is a prerequisite to the certification, and this is the only round of the certification we'll be running for this year. There are significant savings if you decide to join us this year, being the very first year that we run it. And you will also have access to the Nervous System School Trained logo that you can have on your website, pop in your bio, add to your CV, in addition to going on our website as a Nervous System School Trained practitioner. So again, if this feels like the right fit for you, then we'd love to have you join us. Once again, thank you for being with us for season one. It has been an absolute delight to share these episodes with you, and we look forward to sharing more in season two.